Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each week, we explore different aspects of music, be it concerts, albums, music history, or sometimes even the artist themselves. This actually happens to be one of those occasions, but before I get into that, I would like to introduce my co-host on this fantastic journey, Jacob Crum.
Good evening.
Now, if you happen to like our podcast, yes, we know that we are a full like 20 seconds into this, but if you like it and you want to help us out, you can go to our website, followthesoundpodcast.com, and click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side. It takes you to Amazon. You can do all your normal shopping. It will not cost you anything extra other than a few seconds of your time to go through our site. We get a little bit of money back, helps us keep the show going, and it's an all-around good thing. Also, if you go through there and you sign up through, you sign up for Amazon Prime, we get even more money back, and you get access to a ton of really great music through Amazon Music because you can download a bunch of stuff for free, and you get access to movies and two-day free shipping. And if you're not signing up for Amazon Prime, you're honestly missing out on one of the greatest benefits out there on the internet right now. Like, seriously, you will make your money back in just music alone if you are like me and just love getting music. So go ahead and do that. You can go to our website, click on the Amazon banner, or you can go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. It's just that simple. Also, want to thank lineupmedia.fm for allowing us to do the podcast in the first place. You can go to lineupmedia.fm and find tons of great other podcasts out there, including Next Gen Nerds, Armenia Proud, if you happen to be Armenian, and just a ton of other stuff, including This Day in History and Three Horsemen podcast, which is all about wrestling. Anything that you could possibly want, we've probably got it. So go out there and check them out. Lineupmedia.fm. So, as I was saying, today we're actually doing an artist review, although it's not exactly one artist. It's several artists, one real composer, and a bunch of other people there too. But I know that the way that we came about this one was in a fairly roundabout way because we are nerds.
Truth be told.
We are nerds, and we grew up playing a ton of video games and watching anime and doing all sorts of nerdy things. But in one of these anime, there was a show that was only 20-something episodes.
26.
26 episodes.
And a movie.
But honestly had one of the greatest soundtracks that will ever exist. And the soundtrack was so popular that the band that recorded it actually went out and toured because of the popularity of the soundtrack alone. And of course, Jake, I'm going to give you the honors because this is yours. Who are we listening to today?
Today we are listening to The Seatbelts. I'm going to jump ahead of myself.
Okay.
And I might have to say that this is the greatest soundtrack to any television show ever.
I would honestly, I mean, it's easily in my top five. It's vying for like first or second. In my group, of which we were talking about it a little bit beforehand. You know the other soundtrack that I truly, absolutely, totally love, but it's the guitar player from both of these group is the same person.
Yes.
So that's why, like, the other one, of course, to me is super cool. And that being, of course, the Trigun soundtrack.
Okay, then.
But for this one, the Seatbelts, if you don't know who they are, they were a band that was put together by a composer. And that composer's name was?
Yoko Kanno.
Yes. Yoko Kanno put together a this group of musicians in Japan to record all of this music for a show called Cowboy Bebop. Now, if you don't know anything about bebop or jazz in general, bebop is generally really high-spirited, fast kind of music. For the most part, and it's got lots of moving parts to it. So the Seatbelts were just formed together from a bunch of session musicians to record some stuff for this soundtrack. But like I said, the music was so good and the soundtrack was so popular that the band continued on for years afterwards, really, and toured the world.
Yes. Well,
they did.
Some of the world.
They toured some of the world. Yeah. So it's not like they were.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah.
So, yes. But Jake, do you have anything else to add for this?
I do.
Go ahead.
I mean, okay, so we're sitting here debating on which soundtrack is like the best anime soundtrack.
Yes.
And it kind of really doesn't matter because
not even anime, right. Just in general soundtrack for TV shows.
Okay, well, for the sake of argument right now, I'm just going to say the best anime soundtrack.
Yes.
Because all the top four of them are all Yoko Kanno.
Yeah.
Trigun, Cowboy Bebop, Ghost in the Shell.
Trigun wasn't Yoko Kanno. Trigun was Sunio Imahori, which is the guitar player for the Seatbelts.
Okay, close enough, but Yoko Kanno worked on some of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point is that it's the same people producing amazing music. And you know, the best intro to just bring people in and let them know what the Seatbelts is all about is just by playing a song.
Mm-hmm.
So without anything else, I'm going to give you the same dead open that I got when I watched my first episode of Cowboy Bebop.
I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I want to listen to the rest of the song so bad because I love the superb saxophone solo that happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh my
goodness! You got just a taste of it right there.
Just a taste.
A little taste of that.
Just
jazz,
a little
that
bit.
Jazz creeping up on the back of your tongue. So for anyone that didn't know, that was called Tank. And you have to say it that way because it has an exclamation point.
It does
point
have an exclamation point at the end of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, what else can we say about Tank? Everything about it is amazing. I love that conga. That conga throughout this entire album. By the way, the album that we're doing an artist review because two songs of this is not in the box set.
Yeah.
And the box set, by the way, if you want to know, is 4 discs and a mini disc. And I think it's 67-something tracks.
Something like that.
Right.
There's a lot of duplicate kind of tracks or like alternate versions of them.
Yes.
But then there's also like an entire selection of live versions too.
Right. And then there's versions of the Ed character singing to other things. So, but anyway, go out and get it. It's pretty doggone good. That fourth disc is more or less the entire track list from the DVD of the band playing live in Tokyo. But anyhow, that conga throughout this entire recording is, I love that conga sound. It's so amazing. It's so sharp. It's so crisp.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish everybody could emulate that because that is the quintessential conga to me.
See, now, what I love is that back in the day when I was still, you know, trying to improve my drumming skills, I used to put this song on and try and mimic what the drummer was doing the entire time. And it is almost impossible to follow unless you are a truly trained jazz drummer.
Yeah.
But I could fake it pretty well. So it blows my mind how intricate that song actually is and all of those specific hits that they do. But what I also love at the end of that is, of course, you know, when they're concluding the song and that saxophone does that. Boom. Big, huge end to the song. And of course, even the opening to the show is really cool because they time out certain hits to the song. They have just cool visuals going on as well. It is like a perfect intro to a show. So there you go. It was my first introduction and pretty much everybody's first introduction
to the band. And the album release
of
this almost never happened. The music release almost didn't happen for this.
Wow.
So the show came out in 1999 in Japan.
Yes.
And it ran for 8 episodes and then was pulled.
Oh, okay.
Due to controversy over content.
Oh, okay.
The show has a lot of themes, you know, like themes of loneliness and space. That's a natural. That's a really good trope.
Yeah.
But also there's a lot of like anti-government.
Yes, there is.
Natures in it. And like just kind of, you know, warnings about the nature of government and how people and social commentary. And it was pulled for a lot of that and then rebroadcast a few months later, running in its entirety, and the album was released.
So for those of you who don't know anything about Cowboy Bebop, it follows a crew on a ship known as the Bebop, and they are bounty hunters, and they fly around the solar system, you know, going to different planets and different moons and stuff like that, where man has colonized all these different places, and either collecting bounties or doing some other kind of adventure-y type thing, usually for the episode. And but in the future, there's like a bunch of bounty hunters out there, and they call them cowboys, and so hence why the title of the show is Cowboy Bebop. Fantastic show in and of itself. If it didn't even have this soundtrack, it would still be an amazing show. But the soundtrack combined with the show is just perfect. I mean, honestly, just a perfect combination of music and visual. So if you want, let's move on to the next song, Jake.
It is. This is Mushroom Hunting. It's a live version, and it's my favorite version of this song.
Kick the beat.
Missing that in-studio conga sound already, but you can that as a live track is so amazing. The version that appears in the show is a lot more tongue-in-cheek, and it's kind of played all as a joke.
Mushroom hunting.
Right. Africa, Bungung, Osaka. You know, it's very silly, but man, live, that is a barn burner.
Yep. One of my favorite drum beats that they've got in the songs, or in that song particularly.
Yeah.
I dig it. But
you dig it.
Let's get on to the next one.
Absolutely. This is Live in Baghdad. So no, that's not from a different show. That's not a different band.
No, it was from the episode Heavy Metal Queen, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, see, I knew it.
You knew it. Yeah.
I knew the episode.
Yeah, I had to put a fight song in here, and that's the one I picked. And yeah. Lyrics were written by Gabriella Robin. It's the only song of hers I have on here, but I love your stuff.
Yeah. That's there such a completely different song.
I know. It's so different.
But that's a good episode, too, yeah. Because it's like the group meets this trucker, this space trucker. And she's called the Heavy Metal Queen, and she like listens to nothing but heavy metal like while she's driving. So
right,
yeah.
So there's a lot. There's actually like five or six metal tracks that they did.
Yes.
For that single episode.
Just for that one episode. Yeah. They wrote
and
a
this
bunch
is
of
the
songs.
One I decided to kind of represent all of that little branch.
I like it. I
what
like
do we got
it a
coming
lot.
Up next?
We got Want It All Back.
Ooh, I love this one. Let's hear it.
It's a good one.
Oh man, yeah. This was the studio version. I also had a live version, but I went with this one. This could be my favorite like angry breakup song ever. It's right up there with like "Song for the Dumped" and Black Sabbath's "Dirty Women."
Mm. Now, of course, on vocals there, the fabulous mm-hmm. Mai Yamane.
Oh,
she
so saucy.
Yeah, she is a gal who has been doing music for many, many, many years now. And later on, when a couple of the other songs we do, she's got a true, like, really good, raspy mm-hmm. kind of voice.
Yeah.
And she's just fabulous singer, in my opinion. Just, yeah, nothing more I can really say about her other than that.
I mean, the only other thing I can say is that a gigantic voice like that coming from a tiny frame.
Oh, yeah.
She's a very small lady, and you would think that, like, three Aretha Franklins would be required to sing like she does. but anyhow, let's go ahead. Let's move on to this is another one of her tracks.
Yes.
This is Don't Bother None.
Read in my paper in Ray's Cafe. The old guy next to me is loud as day. Ramble and ramble while eating his pie. He dropped his wallet, now it's mine. Sorry, old man, but that's just the way that it is. Don't bother now. Won't have at all to worry about it. Picked up the wallet and slipped outside. I walked around town. I found my nerve and a good place to hide, only to find no cash inside. Oh well, I guess that's just the way that it is. Don't bother now. Won't have at all to worry about it. I got thirsty, so I went to a bar. Met a little darling with the face of a star. In the morning, woke up to find she stole my car along with my heart, yeah. Oh, well, I guess that's just the way that it is. Don't bother none. Won't have at all to worry about it.
Oh, man, I wish that we could have played like the 5-minute harmonica intro.
Yeah.
That also went along with this.
Yeah. There's another version of it that we had that we could have played.
Yes.
That had a great
intro. But it was a minute and a half guitar intro, right?
Yes, yes.
So,
but what it is that slide guitar, that is Tsuneo Imahori.
Yes.
Tsuneo Imahori is hands down one of my favorite guitar players just by himself. And then, of course, to have him combined with my Yamane, like, with that great raspy voice. And even when she, like, goes up into the higher part there, like,
yeah.
Man, it just hooks you so good. And it's, like, such a simple production thing that they did. I mean, like, it was my singing, Tsuneo Imahori on guitar, somebody doing percussion on basically a snare bass drum,
yeah.
And then a harmonica somewhere thrown in there.
Yeah.
It's like.
And what's incredible about that is that they took so many different approaches from that. There are remix versions that have other pieces that don't appear in the final mix.
Yeah.
So they really worked on this song a lot, and you can tell. But coming up next, this is the song. You get this, Brian. They got my dad to be a Seatbelts fan.
Oh, yeah.
He could not believe when he heard this that this was music that was made for a cartoon. So this is Words That We Couldn't Say.
We couldn't say them, so now we just pray them. Words that we couldn't say.
Fantastic bass line in there.
Yeah. And this is actually my favorite vocal performance.
It's Steve Conte.
Of the entire album, yeah.
Steve Conte being a New York musician and producer who has done a massive amount of stuff, but he's also a singer and songwriter. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Associated acts listed here under Wikipedia. Company of Wolves, Crown Jewels, The Contes, The New York Dolls.
Yes.
Billy Squire, The Seatbelts, Shanti Snyder, Steve Conte and the Crazy Truth, and the Michael Monroe Band. And that's just like the ones that are listed. Like, I mean, this is just a fantastic
truth be told, I wanted us to play Rain today, but I couldn't decide what version I wanted to use, if it was Yamane or Steve Conte's version. So I decided not to use it and to play the song that has my favorite Steve Conte vocals on it, which was that.
Yep.
But the Seatbelts are known for being incredible live band, and this is a great song from them. This is a live version of What Planet Is This?
What planet is this?
What planet is this?
Oh, I don't. Apparently, this is a planet where Sly and the Family Stone has Boosie Collins as a bass player. Oh, no, wait, that's the Seatbelts.
Yeah, this is honestly like one of my favorite songs do. I love listening to the drums. I love listening to the horn parts. That saxophone solo is just killer.
Yes.
Everything
that
about that song.
The bass line. Oh, my God. Everything that's going on with that bass line. In this live version, I think the congas are a little bit drowned out in the mix, but that's just it, you know, it's neither here nor there, because what we have up next is actually my favorite guitar work of all the Seatbelts, a track called Digging.
You know, my daddy dug gates for his whole life and never knew nothing more. Yeah, and his daddy done a dig like his old man who dug before the war. And though she couldn't have known till I was born, my poor mama, God rest her soul. I come out digging. Well, I was laying out wire on number 9 now. She came down to earth and she was talking real loud all about how she was gonna save the universe. I went and snuck a little peek in her blue eyes. The world's just darn enough. Oh, she had me off and running. Yeah, she did.
So that one came from the movie soundtrack.
Yes, and, it did.
I love it.
It's very much a Johnny Cash song.
Okay.
In that style of quick playing, sort of storytelling, rhyming that's mildly sing-song-like.
Yeah.
I really like this song in and of itself just because it is a great example.
Why that didn't chart in country music charts, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it should have. It should have. Somebody should have, like, gone to a party, made some connections, and done that. Also, if I'm ever at the Grand Ole Opry and I get a chance to do a song, Brian, that's what I'm doing.
Yep.
All right.
I like
it. So what do we got next? We got Autumn and Ganymede.
Listening to the smooth tones of the Seatbelts.
I kind of feel like the intro to that song was the director kind of saying, give me something that sounds like Lowrider.
Autumn and Ganymede.
Autumn and Ganymede's what you got.
When you need to grab your girl and cruise on through the night, Autumn and Ganymede by the Seatbelts.
When everything in the world just doesn't seem right. Autumn and Ganymede.
That honestly sounds like a song that would be used in like a 70s like spy thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Or what I just did there, like of some dude talking late at night, you know, at like 2 a.m. on a radio station when it's just playing in the background and he's just talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a weird radio station where the guy just goes on and on about like weird political theories. And
you know what old Jack Burton says. No, man, I'm not even gonna try.
I know exactly what Jack Burton says. The check is in the mail. Right here, pushing the sky. Let's play it.
So that harsh song.
That's the song that opens the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because it does that first, and then it goes to the actual sort of music intro that they do.
Yes.
Which I believe we're getting into later, right?
Yes, we are.
So we're not going to talk about that one just yet.
No, we'll get to that. But I should have maybe put it behind this one now that I think about it. But
yeah, that would have been a smart move.
Well, I was this block of three songs right here is music that you hear in the show that's not featured.
Yes.
So this is just what's going on. This is going on in the background of that movie.
When other things
it comes in a couple different other times. And here's the next one. It's called Give and Take. Great standalone song, but it's never featured in the show.
Extremities pulsating with tingling sensation.
I will become master of the universe.
My extremities pulsating with tingling sensation.
So before you ask me, was that guy just mumbling? No, that was French.
Yeah, it was French. Yes, I was going to say that's not Japanese. But yes, there are some French musicians and singers that are featured on some of these soundtracks for the Seatbelts. So, fascinating.
I absolutely love that piece. It sounds to me like what a commercial version of Public Enemy would sound like if it was made today.
Yeah.
And it's outstanding. But we alluded to this earlier. This is a song that was featured from the movie. It's called SDNA.
Gummed up brain dead, can't decide. You can't breathe enough, you can't hide. You can be cool, you can cry. Do it wrong, not at all, or do it right. No one owes you, no one's to blame. Sick or bad genes or DNA. Ask your conscience the why.
Girls,
So here's the thing that I truly love about this song, especially in its use with the movie, is that, you know, it starts with this whole big scene intro and stuff, and then it goes to this song. And with each one of the hits that are doing in the beginning with the keyboard, there's somebody like that's been animated that is like tapping along or doing something with. And like it just the entire song plays.
Yes.
The entire song plays, and it just sort of follows like different things and different people throughout this city. And it's just such a nice little thing that they put together for this super exciting movie that continues on after that. Because the first scene is pretty intense from what I remember.
Yeah.
And then it's like deals with terrorism and like all sorts of bad stuff. And then it's like this weird sort of musical interlude with Ask DNA being played, and just cracks me up. So,
yeah, I mean, the first thing that drove me, like pulled me into the show, was the music. Because I remember, and actually, I got the year wrong earlier. This came out in 98, not 99.
Sorry.
So don't flame war me, people. All right. I hope you didn't already send that angry tweet before we got to this point in the show. All right. But
dear Follow the Sound, you suck at timing dates and figuring out dates.
But I remember when this was coming out on Cartoon Network.
Yes.
On Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran commercials for it. And I just couldn't get, I'm like, what is this Cowboy Bebop thing that has this insane, like, prog jazz in it?
Yes.
Because Tank was what they used
in
the commercials. So
still do.
Of course.
Somewhere, they show Tank. So
that was a nice mellow song. We're going to keep in that mood right here. And we're going to go to Time to Know.
Man, now that's like a lovely park kind of song.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a feel good, happy to be alive kind of song.
My only regret on this one is that I don't think they ever did it live because they didn't have a flautist that they traveled with.
Oh yeah.
And that, you know, heavily featured in this, and I really think this is a beautiful piece of music. Yeah. So we flew through these, and we're coming up to our last track here. And I don't think that there's any more fitting way to go out than what was the intro song in the show, Real Folk Blues.
過ぎてしまった。 ただ心の誇りを癒せぬまま風が吹いてる。一つの目で明日を見て、一つの目で昨日を見つめてる。君の愛の揺りかごでもう一度安らかに眠れたら、乾いた瞳で誰か泣いてくれ。
What a fitting close.
Yes.
It was always kind of sad whenever this song would come on, because one, it's a sad sounding song.
Yes, it is.
But then it's like you also knew that that episode was over.
Right.
And then you had to go on to the next one.
Also, they teased this song through the whole show, and a version of it called See You Space Cowboy that's like 8 minutes long starts to play before the show's over.
Yes.
Which was a masterwork in like cinema for me, for directing. That was huge. The funny thing about this is that the first soundtrack that came out called Cowboy Bebop, this wasn't on it.
Yeah.
How do you not put the intro song on the album that people are buying?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
It was on the third album.
Third album.
Not even the second. But anyhow, I love this. I tried so hard to look up more information about this band. I don't speak or read Japanese, and I don't trust Google Translate. So like, I wanted to know, like, how did they get the sound in recording? What equipment did they use here? But I don't know Japanese instruments that well, and it was kind of hard for me to tell the difference between anything that wasn't Yamaha and, like, a person's name. Like, I wasn't sure, like, are we talking about an artist here? Are we talking about a piece of equipment? And Google Translate is, you know, it works, but...
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, thank you for letting me bring this in. This was all Brian's idea. He said, hey, this would be good to do, and there you go.
Yep. Jake just happened to have all of the songs available to him, which was quite a nice thing. So, I know we've been saying it this entire time, but honestly, the show in and of itself is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
The soundtrack is amazing, and the two of them combined produces something that is honestly in practically every anime fan's top five, easily.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some kids who haven't seen anything from... the late 90s or early 2000s maybe doesn't know it, but you know, for the rest of us who grew up, like, this was the epitome of what awesome anime was. This and Trigun, and of course Dragon Ball Z, which was before it, and like all of these other just really, really great shows. But these shows, especially like this one and Trigun, because those are like my two favorites.
Yeah,
they are both 26 episodes. And that's it.
Right.
Now, well, they both have a movie. Now. But it's just, it is a straight story. It starts at one point and it just continues on until it concludes. And then that's it.
Well, Cowboy Bebop's a little bit more episodic. Like,
yes.
It's a little bit more Monster of the Week, where they're going searching for new bounty and things of that nature.
Yes, yes. But at the same time, it's still there, you know, if a character is introduced before, yeah, then that character is still there later on, you know.
And the central antagonist of the show that reaches the climax is teased in the first episode.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So everybody knew what they were doing when they went into this. And I think it stands heads and tails above so much, so much in the genre.
Yeah, I mean, it is just great storytelling, and it is great music to go along with it. So we cannot recommend this more highly. than to go out and check out Cowboy Bebop. And then when you're done with Cowboy Bebop, go ahead and check out Trigun 2.
You know, the Seatbelts haven't played a show since 2005.
Yeah.
I know a couple of the members are getting up there in age now. However, next year is the 20th anniversary. I don't think anyone but me is hoping that, like, I don't think anyone but me right now is thinking.
Well, if they're doing some shows, they're probably doing shows in Tokyo.
I know, but still.
Yeah.
Make a DVD, please.
So, I'm still hoping for more episodes or another movie or something, but I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Probably not. I'm pretty sure.
I know there's going to be more Trigun stuff, though.
I could be mistaken, but I think the voice actor that did Jet is no longer with us.
Yeah, I know. They'd have to replace him, but.
Right.
Or at the very least, maybe like a live-action version. That would be kind of cool, I think.
Well, maybe.
Be way better than the Ghost in the Shell live-action version. That's neither here nor there.
I haven't seen it yet. I can't pass judgment.
Well, I haven't seen it either, but still at the same time, it's like there are other animes that they could have done better, in my opinion. But that's it for Follow the Sound. We hope that that you have enjoyed this with us. I'm not even going to do a ranking for this one because there's no point. We've already praised this thing enough.
And how do you really rank an entire artist library anyway?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and we haven't really done like a true artist review.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's a bit harder to do. All you have to do is just listen to what we talked about for the last hour and understand that we really, really like this. And hopefully you do too. And to all my nerd friends who might actually be listening to this whenever we get it out there and share it, it's like, you guys also need to understand that, you know, this is the epitome of great stuff for anime and for music. And if you haven't seen it, I know there's a lot of younger nerds out there, but if you haven't seen it, definitely, definitely watch it. So, I am Brian Kroc, and of course, has always been a pleasure with him, is my co-host, Jacob Crum.
Oh, well, you're a scholar, gentlemen, sir. Thank you.
Yep. But what planet is this? I don't know, but if you hear music there, follow the sound.
See you, Space Cowboy.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.